out of the millions and millions and millions of memories we must all have in us. There's something miraculous about the way that some of them keep rising to the surface out of that ocean of our experiences. Over the years, I've come to pay attention to the memories that out of those millions and millions and millions stay with you, that abide. We all have them. Some are painful, some are radiantly joyous, some of them are just plain confusing. But whatever they are, the ones that stay with us, I think, are trying to tell us something about our lives. Memories that abide with us aren't just in the past. Somehow, they're still now. One of mine was from a summer at the beach in Matituck, Long Island. One morning, my dad said to me, "We're going sailing this morning." There was a little sunfish that came with that house that we could use. So my dad dragged it down to the water's edge that morning, put up the sail and the mast, clipped on the tiller, and we pushed out into the water in these lazy small waves. The sail caught puffs of wind and began to push us sideways. And then the mast, sort of the boom, came around and pushed us in the other direction sideways. And my father said, "Oh, I forgot to put in the centerboard." He picked up this slender, flat, smooth, 3-foot centerboard and said, "Watch this." He pushed the centerboard down through the narrow slit in the opening of the cockpit, and with a thunk, as it locked into place, something magical happened. The little boat instantly got its footing. We stopped drifting sideways. The sail snapped taut with the wind, and the boat leaped ahead in a straight line. I am pretty sure that we both said, "Wow!" When I think about it right now, I still think, "Wow!" Some memories like that aren't just past. They're also now, telling us something about our lives. The Bible is filled with stories like this. Stories that out of the, trillions and trillions, squared trillions of experiences of our whole human family, are still now, are still telling us about our lives, who we are, and especially who God is now. One night, God came to Abram and spoke to him in a vision. Again. It wasn't the first time that this had happened. Remember, years and years before, God told Abram to get up and to leave his home, to leave the life he knew behind and the future he had imagined before him, and go to the place that he would show him. God gave Abram a promise with this word. God promised to give Abram a land that would be his home and a future filled with children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren as numerous as the stars, and that through this great big, sprawling family, God would bless the whole world. But that was getting to be a long time ago. Yes, God had come to Abram again and again over those years and years to say, I promise you. And after stops and starts and plenty of drifting sideways, God brought Abram to the land he had promised. But Abram and his wife Sarai had yet to spark the life of a new baby, which on this night Abram reminds God of. Behold, he said, thou hast given me no offspring. And that night, we read that God brought Abram outside, which is a beautiful little detail. Let's look at this together. Now, look up at the heavens and count the stars if you can. I can wait while you count, but I'll just tell you the number of those stars. That's the number of your descendants. And something happened. Something like a centerboard thunking into place. And Abram believed him. Maybe not all the details of the promise. Thinking about his aging body, forgive me, and the aging body of his wife, nothing had changed there. That probably still seemed impossible. But I don't think that was the point. Standing under the stars, something happened, and Abram believed the one who made the promise. And they cut a solemn covenant together to mark what had happened. And the Lord himself passed through the bisected animals to seal the deal, which means that if the promise is not kept, then let it be done to God what has been done to these animals. Can you imagine? Maybe you can, because the story of Jesus includes the same promise to lay down his life for us. Out of all the memories of the whole human family, this one abides with us as something we recall, something past, but something that is now, telling us something about our lives and especially God, who will take you outside tonight if you like to count the stars. We can believe the one who made the promise, even if we can't see clearly how it all works out. God's promise in Jesus is to redeem the world, to save the world from its sin, to heal and mend and forgive its brokenness. But in the kind of world that we are living in right now, it must seem as unlikely as the need for a nursery must have seemed to Abram and Sarah. Herod wasn't the last monster prowling this earth, I'm afraid. Jesus dismissively called him a fox, an old fox. But he wasn't the last old fox, we know well enough. And against an old fox, Jesus counters with a mother hen who longs to gather her chicks beneath her for safety. I don't know about you, but this doesn't look like a fair fight to me. The only fight a mother hen has to put up against a fox is to fluff herself up, make room beneath her for her chicks to hide, and hope the fox will take her but leave the chicks. And isn't that what happened? Didn't he lay down his life for love? Which old foxes think means they win. But love stronger than death brought a mother hen back to her chicks to show that the wounds an old fox can inflict have no power over her, and so nor over us either. That is God's promise. When the world goes so dark as we see it right now, when an old fox seems to be having his day, can we believe the one who has promised with love stronger than death? Well, I have a new memory that I am pretty sure will abide with me. Last week, I saw a video of a little Ukrainian girl named Amelia. Maybe you saw it too. She was in a bomb shelter huddled with dozens of others. The story is that she was telling someone there, a grown-up, that one day she was going to be a great singer who brought love to the world. And the person she was talking to said, well, why don't you begin now? So this little girl, 5 or 6 maybe, stepped up onto a table and began to sing. She sang in Ukrainian, "Let It Go," from the animated movie Frozen, which I understand is sort of the theme song for little girls over these past couple of decades. Maybe you've seen the video. She is bright-eyed and connected to the life which is the source of all life. And as I watched, something happened. It was like a centerboard thunking down into the water, and something like a small boat found its footing and leaped ahead in a straight line again. It was something like a promise kept. It was sacred. Something of the divine came into this world. Because I promise you, the gates of hell and all the old foxes of this world cannot stand against the life that is at the heart of all life that leapt from this little girl. Jesus is God's promise to redeem this world, to save us from our sins, to heal and mend and forgive this broken world with a love that lays down its life for us. We can believe in the one who has promised this. Amen.